throw balls far. You want good words? Data Languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Kalk with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP.
And a good Monday morning, Western Oklahoma. It is The Skinny on Sports on 98.1 FM, 1240 AM, KADS, the sports animal. Jared Atha taking the driver's seat today. Still trying to adjust the volume levels and everything. Hopefully I'm not blasting your speakers because I'm not used to being on this side. But Aaron is out. Skinny is on the road as we speak. In fact, he texted on in to me earlier. He's in Oxford, Mississippi, Ole Miss, home of the Rebs. He said the Grove is awesome. He can't imagine what that place would look like on a game day Saturday, and I bet it's crazy awesome. We've heard stories from our man Tyler, but that's where he's at. And where's he going? He's on his way to Augusta to go check out the Masters this week. Hopefully we get a call in from him sometime about midweek.
And Tiger says he's ready.
Yeah, I've heard about that. I heard Tiger says he's ready to go, so we'll see how that works out for him and in the viewing public, because that moves the needle. That's what people tune in. The novice fans to your crazy fanatics will tune in and focus on Tiger. They're going to set their apps and go, my favorite golfers, and they'll pick. Everyone will pick Tiger to find out where he's going to be. We got a full week to really break down the Masters, but we've had a full weekend of sports that we're going to break down. Today's show, we'll talk about some breaking news last night in the world of college basketball. That very rarely does something happen that overshadows, that overtakes the biggest news today, of course, is the NCAA Men's National Championship game. You go to websites, that's not the headliner. Nope. The headliner is what happened last night. And of course, we all know what we're talking about. Coach Cal, John Calipari, leaving Kentucky, and a deal is in the works for him to be the head coach at Arkansas. It's all but done, but I think it's done. I think it's all going to be done here. Also, speaking of college basketball, the women's finished up their season last night, yesterday afternoon. South Carolina winning the national title over Iowa. We'll talk about that a little bit. Also, we'll preview that national championship game that's happening tonight, Purdue versus UConn. And man, I for the first time in a while, I feel like this is going to be it's a hotly contested game between these two teams. A lot of people probably leaning one way, but I think I think Purdue has a shot here. I think we're going to have a really close game coming down to the very, very end. And Thunder, they break out of their three-game skid last night. They get a win. We'll also hit on some other sports that happened over the weekend if time allows. Jared Atha right here. That voice you heard over there is Scott Garrison. Scott, thanks for being in. First off, I got to formally apologize on air. We didn't have a show Friday, and nobody told you.
I walked in. The place was dark. I was like,
I'm so sorry. Man. You sent us the text. We had a fun night over in Tulsa on Thursday night, the OAB Awards banquet.
Yeah, just raking in awards.
We did pretty good this year. We took home, I'll start from the top, we took home the Best of Show Award. We've talked about this on the air, but we love bragging about ourselves around here and puffing out our chest. The Best of Show Award went to KECO, of course, our big station here at the network. And what that means is basically we got the most votes. Maybe not the most awards, although we took home some other awards too, and we'll talk about that. But we took a lot of votes, kind of like a Heisman thing, like you get your first place vote, your second place vote. We took home a lot of those top votes, and that by virtue of all that, we took home the Non-Metro Best of Show Award, which is basically the best radio station outside of Oklahoma City and Tulsa area. And that also includes Lawton, right?
Yeah.
Best rate because they're considered non-metro.
Yeah.
Enid, Muskogee, Stillwater. So it's a pretty big deal around here. I bring home that award. Also, we brought home a best advertising, best ad. Gabe Edney wrote produced and well, he wrote it, he produced it, voiced it, a really good ad that won the awards, second year in a row for him, and about for the 12th time for Aaron, he won these the best sportscast award, his Skinny on Sports Report. I say 12th time, he's only been here about 7 years, but it seems like every year he submitted that he's bringing home that award. I think there is talks of them renaming the award the Skinny Award. Because he's bringing it home more often than not. And we also, for Big Elk TV, the football broadcast brought home an award for best sports streaming. And that goes across the board, the entire state. There's no metro, non-metro. That's everybody. Really? Everybody. So
that's fantastic.
Brought home that one. So, yeah, we don't suck in that regard.
You guys are big time.
Well, appreciate
it. Big time stuff.
So we had fun on Thursday night, and because we were both there, we couldn't be here. That's why we didn't have a show on Friday. But we thought, you know what? Since we're not going to have a Garrison Financial Friday, we'll just have a Garrison Financial Week if you come and help me out this week, and I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Appreciate that. How was your weekend?
Man, it was good. It was good. We Saturday in that absolutely horrific wind, stayed home. But you know what? That's okay. Because when you get those days, I get out in the yard. I get all the stuff done.
You got out in that wind?
Well, yeah, because I wanted to golf when it was nice.
Yeah. You had to get out early.
So got out, got a lot of things done around the house. And yesterday went out and enjoyed that beautiful day and went golfing. Hey, I got something that I think is going to get this text line fired up and get people a little hot, and I want to ask it right away because I want to hear.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that. I'm glad you mentioned that because I didn't do the regular kickoff of the show. 580-225-9698 if you want to text on in. Recording the show, you can go to kadsam.com. That's where I always start if you want to re-listen to the show. Follow us on Facebook. Search Skinny on Sports on Facebook. For some reason, Facebook, when you search, it says that's an inappropriate.
It does, yeah.
I don't get it.
It's skinny.
Skinny? They're so offended by skinny?
Yeah.
By the word skinny?
Andy's not skinny.
It's a contradictory, and they think it's fake news, but, and they try to ways around it, you can find it.
Body shaming and whatnot.
Thanks, Mark Zuckerberg. But you can find a replay of the show right there as well. So, okay, speaking of texting, you said you had a stumper of a question here.
And I want to know your opinion. Question? This is not a trivia question. This is an opinion question. So, can you be the GOAT if you didn't win the big one?
Can you be the greatest of all time?
Everybody, everybody's talked about is Caitlin Clark being the GOAT. Can you be the GOAT? And is she getting a little bit of a pass because she's playing women's basketball? If this was men's basketball, can you be the GOAT?
It's a good question.
If you didn't win the big one,
that's a good question. I you know, when you talk about the GOAT, the first notch on your resume is championships, right? That's
sure.
The first thing people ask is how many championships did that person win? You know, Michael Jordan, we won 6. You know, LeBron's going to be in that discussion because he has those titles. So that's a great question for women's basketball. Can Caitlin Clark be considered a GOAT, maybe a Mount Rushmore, even on the Mount Rushmore, without a title? Couple of runner-ups, set records off the chart. But then there's going to be the discussion of, well, maybe it was just more than what she did on the court, the way she's inspired, the way she's brought in fans to the game. I've said this before, is that, you know, the ratings were awesome for the women's national tournament compared to past women's NCAA tournaments. But will it continue next year? Me and Aaron agree that probably won't, because that star power is kind of there's going to be a little bit of a break of a star power.
Mm-hmm.
But I've said the new fans that came in, I mean, if you brought in all these viewers, some are going to stick around. So that's what the effect of Caitlin Clark and, to a lesser extent, Angel Reese did for the game. Brought in fans, they watched it, they realized this is kind of fun. They're sticking around. I think women's softball has benefited from that, the excitement of that game. You might credit Patty Gasso and her run at OU for all this. And there's been a lot of residual fans that have stuck around because, this is a fun sport to watch. I want to watch this. I want to watch the Women's College World Series every June. So I think credit for that. I'm glad you brought that up, because that's you know, on my list to talk about was that game yesterday, South Carolina winning 87-75 over Iowa. Iowa gave a great fight. I wasn't able to watch. I had to be on the softball field conducting practice, but I had a – here's another crazy thing. He is 13, this young man.
Okay.
13 years old. Okay, his little sister played, so he was there, you know, kind of, I would say, helping us out. He wasn't helping us out. You know what he was doing in the dugout? On his phone, watching this game. He's a 13-year-old boy. Yeah. You know, he cares about, you know, baseball and basketball, and make sure his hair is right, make sure he doesn't smell for the girls when he goes to school. But he's in the dugout on his mom's phone watching this game.
Yeah.
And that kind of stood out to me. I thought, this kid, you could be watching a baseball game Sunday afternoon. Yeah. I'm sure there's some baseball you could watch. He's choosing to watch that.
That's a good point.
NCAA women's basketball game. So, again, there's been a lot of interest there. When a 13-year-old boy is watching this game, that stood out to me. But to your question, where does Caitlin Clark rank? And so I'm glad you asked that, because I found a list of top 10 players. There's going to be – so this is all subjective, and it's an opinionated list, but they put number one at Cheryl Miller. There's going to be names you recognize.
Yeah.
Brianna Stewart from UConn. Remember her.
Mm-hmm.
Candace Parker. We all remember her from Tennessee.
Sure.
Diana Taurasi, UConn.
Yeah.
I always mess up her name, but she's number five. Sabrina, she's playing right now. She's from Oregon. I'm so bad at this. She's done the three-point contest with Steph. They did that thing during the All-Star break. Ionescu?
I have no idea on her.
Great shooter, though.
I've heard of her.
Great shooter from Oregon. The list goes on and on. Others on there that you would recognize. Cheryl Swoops is on there. Caitlin Clark is on here at number seven. And this was listed or made, yesterday after the game. So,
you know,
maybe one of the top 10 players of all time, sure. Mount Rushmore, up for debate. Greatest ever, not yet.
You know,
not now.
I just, you know, and really, I haven't seen that. I've seen people say that she's the. I mean, Jeremy Gray watches a lot of basketball.
Absolutely.
You know, he's got a few young ladies at his house that are pretty hardcore basketball. But I do.
I think they're practicing right now, actually.
No doubt. I sincerely disagree. I don't think you can be the greatest of all time if you didn't win the big one.
If she had brought home a couple titles last year and this year, that absolutely is in the – she's definitely on the Mount Rushmore.
Yeah.
And then you can start having that discussion of greatest of all time. Great so player, you absolutely.
You wouldn't put Sue Bird ahead of her?
Ooh, I don't know.
Women's basketball?
That's a good one.
I mean, how many championships did she win?
Yeah, and that's when you think about the greatest, one of all the great players in women's college basketball, you immediately go to UConn. And okay, who are on those UConn teams? And there's a few of those on this list.
Hey, here's a question. Here's a pretty good question. Did Lisa Lobo win the championship when she was at New Mexico?
No clue.
Worth Googling. I would say that's probably somebody who was by herself and probably didn't have a big supporting cast.
Yeah. No, that's a good one. I don't know. But great season, though, for Iowa.
Oh, hey, it was a great season. I'm not trying to take anything away from her. Just, you know, like I say, little controversy. Get a little controversy. Yeah.
South Carolina, let's turn it around on them. They finished 38-0. Obviously winning the national title. Where do they rank with other undefeateds? We talk about the greatest player. Where do they rank as one of the greatest teams of all time?
Yeah. Like I said, I don't know. I didn't keep up with it that much.
And some will – I got a list, so some will – you'll know, you'll remember, and some you'll just – it just kind of falls to the wayside. UConn was the last one to do it, I believe, in 15-16. They were 38-0. UConn again in 13-14, 40-0. Baylor did it in 11-12, 40-0. UConn, 09-10. UConn again in 08-09. There's an incredible streak they went on. UConn again, my goodness, 01-02. Tennessee did it in 97 and 98. UConn in 94, 95. Texas actually did it in 85 and 86, and I think they were the first ones. There's only nine. There's only been nine.
Back-to-back.
Or nine undefeated teams in women's college world history, college basketball history. So, and South Carolina's that ninth team winning it. Yesterday,
I would say
38-0.
I would say it's considerably more difficult.
I'd say they're
now
definitely top 10
than it was 20 years ago.
Oh, I think so.
The women's game, women's college basketball has exploded. It's considerably more difficult now than it was
to go wire to wire. I'd agree with that, and it matters what conference you're in. With South Carolina and SEC, I just mentioned Tennessee. They've been kind of down lately, but they're kind of like a sleeping giant. Still, you have to contend with them. I think of other teams. I know Kentucky's had some teams. South Carolina, not South Carolina. There's one I'm just forgetting. It's on the top.
I like what Jeremy says. So she goes in the portal, like AKA LeBron goes and wins one with Reese at LCU. I'm guessing that's supposed to be LSU. And then we can call her the best. Those UConn teams had 7 to 9 five-star recruits on their team every year. That's true.
That is true.
That is true.
Yeah.
I think that's more of a poke at LeBron than he's trying to.
I didn't even put on the list about LeBron's superstar son declaring for the NBA draft over the weekend.
I didn't see that.
He averages just around 4 points a game this season.
Good grief.
But he's keeping his options open. I think what's going on here is he's also kind of entered the portal, hasn't hired an agent. He's going to find out where his draft stock is. And I think the real question is, what team is fool enough to want to draft him thinking that they're going to get LeBron?
Get LeBron included as a package deal.
As a package deal. And it's kind of who's going to blink first. Everyone's going to imagine all the GMs in a room, and then the commissioner says, who's going to draft him? This stays in the room. Who's going to do it?
Yeah.
And everyone's going to, who's going to talk first? Yeah. Everyone's going to look at each other. Who's going to blink first? Who's going to look like the fool?
Yeah.
And say, oh, I'm going to do it. And I've been very firm on this stance. If anybody really thinks, and I don't believe it, I do not believe LeBron is going to play with his son. Don't believe it. No, I take that back. I don't believe LeBron's going to leave L.A. to play with his son.
Yeah.
I believe LeBron's going to find a way to get him in L.A.
I wouldn't doubt that.
I'm not saying the Lakers are going to draft him.
Yeah.
LeBron gets what LeBron wants.
If he's only averaging 4 points a game in college, he might be a free agent.
Yeah. Yeah, undrafted free agent.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, I didn't even put that on my list because I think it's pathetic.
That is pretty pathetic.
I don't want to. Yeah, didn't really want to talk about it. So anyways, we talked about that. Now, real quick, before we go to break, breaking last night, John Calipari is about to finalize a 5-year deal, become the next head coach at Arkansas, staying in conference, but going to Arkansas, leaving Kentucky. Of course, Eric Musselman went to USC, and I think there's a lot of Arkansas fans were okay with him letting him go.
Yeah,
They didn't have the greatest of season. He's kind of a...
He's a jerk.
He's a nut.
He's a jerk. That's all there is to it.
There's a fine line of the fiery coach.
Yeah.
You know, rip the tie off, throw the chair. And then there's Eric Musselman, who had a knack for getting thrown out against OU the 2 out of 3 times they played him. So maybe he's like, OU's coming to this conference? I'm out of here because I don't want to get thrown out of games, win or loss. So
there's a difference between being fiery and just looking like a jerk.
And he's That line's not even blurred for him. He's past it. But Coach Cal, he's going to basically take a pay cut to leave Kentucky to go to Arkansas. From everything I've heard and seen and banter I've read, is that both parties are kind of happy about this. Kentucky their fans were kind of.
The biggest surprise is that he didn't take the buyout.
Yeah.
Wait for them to fire him and take the buyout.
Right.
All I can think is he didn't want to get fired. Yeah. I don't know.
Well, I give him credit for that. Yeah, did it not come out where Kentucky basically said, we're going to stick with you? So when that was laid out, I was like, okay, well, then I'll just have to find another job.
Yeah, maybe.
And from what I read, according to ESPN last night, was Tyson Foods, the Tyson family, they're big boosters, for big contributors to Arkansas athletics. and they're big friends with Coach Cal, apparently. Mm-hmm. And they, I guess, were, hey, buddy, hey,
you know, here's,
come over here.
Here's what somebody says, great hire by Arkansas. Is it?
Well, it looks good for the program. You get a big name, but it's an, again, subjective. You're going to have to wait till the results.
Mm-hmm.
It's, what's weird is it's hard to tell if it's a good hire or not just because of the age of that we live in with the transfer portal, NIL, and all of that. There might be some people going, okay, you're able to put out some money and get Coach Cal, but how come you don't contribute to our NIL program and get some players? You know, maybe that's coming too, right behind it.
Yeah.
What blows my mind is they, and this coming from Aaron, he texted me this morning, they have enough faith in Pittman, their football coach, because when I think Arkansas, I'll be honest with you, I just go to football first and not basketball.
Yeah.
They've had some good basketball teams, but I thought, well, he finished my thought when he, and I'll give all the credit to Aaron, saying that, yeah, why it just kind of blows my, they're sticking with Pittman. If they had this booster money, could they have gone out and got someone else, you know, get rid of Pittman and get a big name guy? But maybe they tried. Maybe they went fishing and no one was really wanting to leave them. And the, you know, the coaching carousel kind of went crazy when Saban retired, and then that effect that had, maybe it just left Arkansas. Now we'll just stick with Pittman, and maybe next year. But they got their guy in Coach Cal. What now? Who does Kentucky go after? And the one name in it, the Morning Animal said it. I know our big Kentucky fan down the road, Coach Hunt, from what I've heard from Aaron, is that he wants this too, is Coach Donovan.
That's, yeah.
He's at the Bulls. Of course, he got his NBA start at Oklahoma City, but had great success at Florida.
Sure.
And it's not really working out at the Bulls.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe if he wants back in the game, back in the college game, this will be a spot he lands.
I cannot imagine leaving a pro job for a college job now.
You're essentially going back to a pro job. How the model works.
NIL, the stress of the college job is 365 days a year.
Yep.
And the stress of the pro job, I mean, when the season's over, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I cannot. I used to think it would be so amazing to be a coach at OU, you know, OU football. What an amazing job, be a coach up there. I wouldn't take it.
Oh, no. The pressure. Bob Stoops is living his best life after he retired.
Oh, well, I mean, even the assistant coaches, you know?
Yeah.
I thought, man, Kel Gundy, that dude's making $300,000 a year, and all he has to do is recruit running backs and send them in, sub them in and out. I can't imagine trying to recruit the kids today, the divas, the...
Well, you got to recruit them every year.
And it's all year long now,
yep,
because of the portal.
Yep. Yeah. It's hard to imagine leaving the pro game, but some people just like the college life better, the college atmosphere better, and maybe him being at the pro level for a few years. I could bring this. I now know how the college game works now. It's like a pro level, you know. Maybe if he takes the job, said, but hire me a GM that could handle all this NIL stuff.
Yeah.
And manage that day to day, and I'll worry about the coaching.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, there's going to be people that's their job, that's their specialty, that's all they do, is handle NIL and recruiting, and they're gonna be making big money to do it.
Yep. Yeah, so that'll be interesting. That the job search at Kentucky, I don't imagine it's vacant very long, but maybe it is. Maybe they're not too much in a hurry, because I think we're Kentucky, we got to make the right hire. He's one name floating around. I haven't heard of any others, but it does make you think, you know, he's still under 60 age wise Mags, who wonder, do they look at someone younger, or is he the guy they want to get? We'll see. But that's what happened, and that was the news that overtook what we'll talk about after the break, and that's the NCAA Men's National Championship game tonight, Purdue and UConn. Jared Athus, Scott Garrison, with you today, with you all week. Aaron on the road on his way to Augusta again, hoping to get a call in from him and maybe not just hear about, you know, what's happening at Augusta. Of course, it's going to be limited because he can't use his phone on the grounds, but I'm actually kind of interested in what the trip is like. He's driving through the South, which is actually kind of cool. You know,
yeah, it's fantastic.
Springtime going through the South. You know, I've been to the South. I've been to the last three summers. I've been to the Florida Panhandle to vacation. I guess you can call that the South. I've been to Mobile, Alabama. Where else have I been? That's considered Southern. That's about it. But I've never driven it. Pensacola. But I've always flown into it.
And, no, flying's the way to go. Driving is the way to go.
Driving, I've flown into Pensacola, rented a car, and drove to where we're going. And I won't say where we're going because I want people to know where we go. I want that to keep. It's like a tourist spot that nobody knows about. Uh-huh. Anyways, it's in the Panhandle. Let's put it like that. And it's not Destin. And it's not Gulf Shores. But that's as much as driving I've done. But I've always been fascinated with that South culture. So I'm anxious to hear what Aaron's trip has been like.
Yeah. No, we drove down there last year. We drove to, we went and stayed first night in New Orleans. Yeah. Took my 16-year-old down to see Bourbon Street for about 30 seconds.
16, huh?
Yeah. Woo. Then we went back.
You know, I was nervous last night. I let my kids watch WrestleMania.
Oh.
They were fascinated by it. I was on the edge of my seat like, is this appropriate? Or, it wasn't bad. They've kind of made it more family friendly. There's not a lot of blood as I remember there was. And they used to get kind of bloody.
It used to be really bloody. Yeah.
And there's not that. That last night was awesome with, there's a little nostalgia because The Rock, I don't know the storylines. I don't know who Cody Rhodes is. He won the championship over Roman Reigns. I don't know these guys. I haven't been watching this, but my youngest, not my oldest, my youngest who's seven is fascinated by it. I think because she loves gymnastics. And she's equating the flipping and the stuff, the athleticism and all that.
You can't deny that they're athletes.
Oh, no, I'm not. No. Yeah. But she does understand because I've made her understand this is fake. You understand this. She goes, oh, yeah. Oh, I get it. Yeah. But she's just fascinated with all the flipping and the high flying and acrobatic stuff like that.
Please don't grab your friend by the neck.
Unless they pick on you. Go crazy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hit him with an arm bar or whatever.
There you go.
But it was fun last night with the final match between Cody Rhodes and Roman Reigns. Again, don't know who those are. But then, because you know, someone always comes out of nowhere, right? With a folding chair or something. Well, guess who comes out? The Rock. All right. And my kids know who The Rock is. Oh, it's The Rock. Because he's a big movie star.
Sure.
You know, he's Moana's, what's his name on Moana?
Oh, yeah.
So he's coming down. Well, then John Cena comes out. I kind of know about John Cena. Kids knew who John Cena was. They're doing the whole hand thing when he comes out. And then the place goes dark. You hear the bell, bong, the bell toll, right? Who's that? Come on.
Don't tell me The Undertaker came out.
Undertaker.
How old is he?
I don't know, but he looked good. The lights come on, and he's just standing right behind The Rock. The Rock, he's looking at the ramp, right, looking for him to come out. He's right behind him. Gets him with his signature move, like a choke slam or something. Then the lights go out, and he's gone. He's there for maybe 45 seconds.
How much do you think he got paid for that 45 seconds?
It was electric. I got chills. It took me back to when I was a teenager and I watched that stuff because that's who that was. The only person missing was Stone Cold Steve Austin coming out and going, give me a beer. Hell yeah.
I feel bad for you because you missed the – I was the Hulk Hogan, Andre the Giant era, man.
Yeah, that was fun.
Fifth and sixth grade.
I've seen some really good documentaries, about, you know, the Giant. There's a great one on Max I think you can find. And that's a really
good one on Ric Flair is just sad.
It is absolutely
depressing.
Yep. While we're talking about wrestling, I'll finish my thought on this. There's a great movie called The Iron Claw. Go check it out.
Okay.
It's about the Von Erichs.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. About the family, how tragic that was.
Right. Yeah.
It's a really good movie. It's out there somewhere.
Yeah. Because those guys, I think they both won NCAA championships in wrestling, didn't they?
They were really athletic. The whole family. Out of the Dallas area is where they grew up or that family was. Really good movie. I encourage you to check it out. I encourage everybody to check out you, Garrison Financial.
Hey.
Full financial planning, shop the open market to bring the best value of life insurance and investments, can manage your investments or charge hourly to build a plan for you to manage. Most of all, you like to work with clients and their accounts to streamline tax ramifications and returns, and you do so much more. You do so much good things for people to secure their future. That's that peace of mind, and you provide that. Go check them out, 124 North Main Street. You can email Scott. It's scott@soonerwealth.com, 821-1219, right?
That's right? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, tonight, big game. National championship game, Purdue and UConn, two number one seeds who, by the way, I correctly picked to be in there. Let's check in on the Western Oklahoma Realty Bracket Challenge and how that looks. And right now, it's just down to two people. It's myself and Coach Sean Hamm. And basically, whoever wins, wins the bracket challenge. If Purdue wins, I get to brag about it. If UConn wins, Coach Hamm gets to actually go back to his girls and say, listen, girls, looks like I know what I'm talking about when it comes to basketball. so that's what's at stake tonight. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's basically me versus him for that bracket challenge. Thanks again to Western Oklahoma Realty, Tyler Harrison. People before property helping us out with that. It's been a lot of fun. We had about 75 people join this year, and it's been fun throughout. So, game tonight, let's talk about it. The favorite, I think, is going to be UConn. If you go, if let's what you're looking at, what the experts say, everyone's kind of picking UConn in this one, but they're picking it close, though, somewhere, and we'll have a prediction coming up in a little bit. But I think the real question is, for UConn anyway, how do you slow down Zach Edey? The fantastic center from Purdue has been just that, fantastic in this playoff run. He was fantastic again on Saturday night against North Carolina State. They had a little success against him, keeping him off the free throw line, but he was still very good. So how does UConn slow him down? What do you think they need to do? Scott, I'll start with you.
I'll just tell you straight up. I have not watched a single game of the NCAA tournament. How sad is that?
That's okay.
You know,
well, just take what I just told you.
I didn't even fill out a bracket. That's bad.
You didn't fill out a bracket?
I didn't.
You could have told me you did, and I would have believed you. You could have said, I had Purdue going all the way to this game.
I might never do any of that stuff with you guys again because of what I did in the college football rankings this year. So
what's that?
Oh, I was just atrocious. I was so bad. Yeah, it was that bad. But no, yeah, I really haven't. I have not watched any of it. Actually, that's not true. I watched one game with my great friend Kenneth Hart. Went out to his farm and watched one game with him. Watched the South Carolina Big Boy. No, NC State Big Boy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that was going into the question on Saturday was how that matchup would go. I'm always bad with names, and I like him. He's a great player. He's been a part of that Cinderella run for them, and I was kind of rooting for him. But he, like I said, he got actually – that's the problem is what's going on here with Edey is he's able to get his opponents into foul trouble, and then it creates mismatches because they have to set him down, and he takes advantage of that. He's been able to get to the free throw line more often than not, not so much on Saturday night. I think he's a smart player. To me, if you're getting to the free throw line, you're figuring out, okay, they're going to be calling this, so I'm going to keep attacking in this manner. I'm either going to make the bucket or get to the free throw line. People kind of scoff at, like, oh, that's all he does. He's taking advantage. No, he's not. He's playing basketball. He's playing smart. So for UConn, for them to stop him, now UConn as a whole is a really, really good team. I think they are the more complete team, whereas Purdue has the best player in this game, and that's Zach Edey. But UConn is the more complete team. They're the best team. What's Purdue, if their guards can get going, anyone else not named Edey can get going, they're really, really tough to beat. So let's kind of watch that early, see if their guards are able to hit from outside, hit some long-range shots, make their shots, basically, and because I think Edey's going to continue to do what he does. Now, guarding him is more than likely going to be Donovan Klingon. for UConn, who's just as tall as he is.
Oh, maybe. Well, they're going to win. No. They have a Klingon?
Yeah. I think I'm saying it right. Klingon. And but if he gets into foul trouble early, that could be advantage Purdue. It's going to be interesting. I want, obviously, Purdue to win for the bragging rights because I picked them way back when I picked the tournament. I picked this game. Have I mentioned that yet?
You might have mentioned that.
And
where's your bracket now? Because I heard last week you were at 3,000 out of.
I was wrong. It was actually 6,000.
Well, that's still pretty 6, impressive. And
it was the highest. And of course, I screenshotted it, and I might print and frame it because I don't think I'll ever ever get that high ever again. I'm still like, can't wrap my mind around that.
Yeah.
Out of like 22.2 million brackets.
Yeah, that's crazy.
It's nuts, but. And I was pretty happy when it got to the 30,000s. And then after Saturday night of last week, it was up into the 6,000s. It was nuts. Totally crazy. But I've never had a bracket this good. But so back to this game. But so Purdue, I just gave you the keys to win there. For UConn, just keep doing what they're doing. I mean, they've been so dynamic as a team, which is so satisfying for me to watch. Like, this is a team sport. People forget that sometimes. But they have a lot of guys. I have to look up who plays for these guys. There's a lot of these no-name guys, but they keep doing it. Mm-hmm. And that's basically if their offense, because Purdue's going to have to slow it up because they can go on runs. UConn can. They've done it more than once in this tournament.
Get you behind and make and you play make, out of your
make,
game.
And make you play catch up and little frantic at times. If they can limit their runs and have responses, I think Purdue has a shot. So, prediction? Any prediction you want to give us? You never know.
Yeah.
Shoot from the hip.
Well, I mean, I got to say it's going to be UConn, just so that when I come in here tomorrow and I'm right, then I get to tell you that I was right and you were wrong.
We might actually get a call from Coach Ham if that happens.
I like being a contrarian. There you go.
Yeah. I might call Coach Ham whatever happens tomorrow.
Yeah.
I have to pick Purdue, right? I picked them to win it all, so I picked.
Absolutely.
But if memory serves me right, because they do like a tiebreaker thing, like total points scored, I picked it to be something like 74-72. I think it's coming down the wire.
Going to be that kind of game.
Score in the 70s. Give me Purdue 74-72.
Well, I might have to watch a little of it. That's going to be that kind of a game.
That's what we'll do. Hey. You been to Boomtown Grill lately?
I have, yeah.
Good place to eat, great specials. Of course, Tuesdays, I know it's not Tuesdays, today's Monday, but tomorrow they'll have the chicken fried steak special. $5 includes one side. They got great specials all week long. You hear about them all week long, too. Go check them out, 2103 South Main Street in Elk City.
I bet they'll have the Masters on, too.
They're going to have tonight's game on. They'll have baseball games on. They have, I know I've read this, 12 big screen televisions. In there, they have happy hour Monday through Friday, 2 to 6 p.m. So go get ready for the game. You know, after work, need a cold one to relax. Okay. Go check out Boomtown Grill. Great appetizers. They have drink specials too. 11 beers on tap. 30 bottled and canned beers available. A house favorite drink is the smoked old fashioned. I've had an old fashioned. I wonder what the smoked old fashioned includes. A classic cocktail with a modern seasonal smoky twist.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Let's go check them out. Yeah. Boomtown Grill. Yeah, you can watch that game there tonight.
Tell your wife you're going to work Thursday and Friday and just go out there and watch the Masters and hang out all day.
Or your boss. But you're your own boss, man. I wish I had that luxury. Nothing against my bosses here, but maybe they'll go with me.
There you
go. Yeah. Now, Boomtown Grill, thanks to them. Wrapping it up here on your Monday, Jared Atha in studio, Scott Garrison helping me out this week, Aaron on the road. We'll hear from him sometime this week, you know, as he's making his way, driving his way to Augusta National. Check out the Masters. And, yeah, it is Masters week. We'll probably jump into Masters talk maybe as early as tomorrow. Because I'm going to start doing my homework. Who's in the field? We'll make some picks too, Scott, and we'll do that.
Absolutely.
You want to do that Thursday morning? Because they'll actually already started. Or we could do it Wednesday.
I say Wednesday.
Wrap up the show on Wednesday with our Masters picks. We'll pick our top three. So I'll just.
And a dark horse.
Top three and a dark horse. Yes. That's how we usually do it. And I'm sure Aaron will. He didn't really pick on Thursday. That was his last show last week. But he gave us some incredible insight, as he usually does. I'm sure he'll send in his picks too. Nothing to win there. We'll just, for bragging rights again. But
sure.
Unless you want to bet something, I don't care.
Hey.
I'll bet you one of those old fashions at Boomtown Grill.
There you go. Yeah. Sounds good.
Yeah. Some quick hitters. Thunder, they get a win last night without SGA, his fourth game in a row without playing, resting the injury. But they do snap the three-game skid, 121 to 118 over Charlotte. They are now third in the West, one game back from the two seed, Denver the first, and Minnesota in the second place. Second seed. I wonder, are they intentionally, well, clearly they really want to rest SGA to have him as healthy as possible for a playoff run, but are they tanking, I guess, without, for lack of a better term, to avoid a higher seed, to avoid potential matchup problems with maybe the Lakers? I kind of wonder that. But they have four more games left, all at home. All this week. They'll wrap up the season on Sunday against Dallas. They start this four-game stretch tomorrow against Sacramento, a team they've had some matchup issues. Question is, will SGA come out in play? We'll see. They host the Spurs on Wednesday, and it looks like on Friday they host the Bucks. Tough matchup. And then, like I said, wrapping up the season on Sunday afternoon with the Mavericks. I certainly hope they play, and I certainly hope they're playing for something on that Sunday afternoon.
You're going to have to help me out a little bit, because I readily admit I haven't followed the NBA that closely for a long time either. But SGA's been hurt pretty much every season at some point, hasn't he?
Well, nicked up, I think, is
a better way to put it.
Yeah, but not nothing that's earth-shattering.
Yeah.
And last year,
remember when Larry Bird would lay over on the sideline to rest his back?
Yeah.
Because he had blown discs in his back, and he'd probably still play like 30 minutes a game.
Yeah.
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 They just don't have those guys anymore.
Yeah, and there's that, and there's the question of – and you see guys who that will rest, you know, take long portions during the season of rest, play a little bit and rest, and then they hit it hard during the playoffs.
Right.
To try to be as healthy as possible. So it begs the question, is the season too long? Should they cut back on games? But there's no way.
I think that means
you're losing money.
I think it's just absolutely ridiculous. I mean, that there is no way LeBron would have survived the 80s, 80s NBA. I mean.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I just
he would have joined the Bulls, or he would have joined Detroit, who was beating him up. It's like, I'm tired of getting beat up by these guys.
He would have let Detroit.
I'll go join those guys, and I'll help beat up some other people.
Yeah, he might have done that, no doubt.
Or I'll go join Michael over there and join a super team. And
No,
you're right. He wouldn't have.
That's why I quit watching the NBA. It turned into European football, or excuse me, European soccer. It's the flopping, it's just gross to me.
They've tried to curb that a little bit. They are calling technicals on flops and stuff like that. I'm not and at the end of the year, I'd love to see a case study. It doesn't work. Has it cut down on the flopping? Has it cut down on, you know, by penalizing them for that? We'll see. So again, the Thunder with four more games. We'll see about SGA tomorrow and see if he's able to go and put a final push in this in the standings. Again, one game back from there. It's a tie for first between Minnesota and Denver. And then there's Oklahoma City, one game back in the loss column. They do have the tiebreaker against Denver because they beat them 2 out of 3 times they played them. But Minnesota has a tiebreaker against Oklahoma City by virtue of the same thing. I think Denver and Minnesota have one more game against each other. And they do. And it is on Wednesday night at 9 p.m. of course. But it is on ESPN. That is big. That could be for the one seed, or could be a loss there, depending on what the Thunder could do, could be the difference between a one seed and a three seed. We'll see what happens. So that's maybe a game you want to watch other than the Thunder during their run. Another thing over the weekend, this is crazy, and I'm surprised I didn't lead with this. OU softball, they dropped their first Big 12 series in a long time. They lost to Texas over the weekend. They won the first game 5-3, but fell on Saturday 2-1 and yesterday 2-1. Any concern there for OU and the softball team losing their first series there? That puts them at 3 losses of the year.
Sounds like the bats fell asleep.
The bats have gone, they've gone quiet a little bit. Coach Gasso has mentioned, of course, this was in Austin, that she mentioned before the series that she wants to be in tough environment situation like this. Texas is a good team, top 5 team, but they were coming off a series loss to OSU, who OU has yet to play, but that one will be in Norman at Loves Field. I wonder about, you know, the talk was when the streak was broke against the Raging Cajuns of Louisiana, and was, okay, that's a monkey off their back. They don't have to worry about that streak. And now another streak is broke as this consecutive, and I don't have the numbers in front of me, the consecutive Big 12 series wins has been broken. Is that off their backs? Is it, could have, Gasso is such a good coach. Could she use this to turn around and go, okay,
yeah,
we don't have to worry about streaks anymore.
Yep.
We know what, now people are, and here's the reality is they're the best team. They've been the best team the past 3+ years, if not longer, and they're always going to get everybody's best shot.
Sure.
And maybe that this is something that awakes them. But the real concern as an OU fan is the Big 12 regular season conference title is in jeopardy with this loss. So that makes the Bedlam series huge.
Yeah.
It's a must win in every series from this from here to every game, every Big 12 game.
Well, she'll definitely try to use it for motivation, yeah. But it can also work against you. I mean, you get a couple of losses like that, and you're coming up against another top team.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, you can really get in a hole.
Yeah. College baseball, OU dropped their Bedlam series in Stillwater. They split. They went on. They lost on Friday. OSU got them in that one. That game in the wind on Saturday, at one point, I lost count of the home runs. Everybody was hitting a home run. Yeah, OU would win that one. It honestly looked like a Bedlam football score. It was like 18-6 or something like that. Well, that's not a Bedlam football score. It's usually 56-6 or 36 or something. But they were just they got up in the jet stream and took advantage of the win. But then they lose yesterday. OSU beats them yesterday. And OSU will take that series again. It always seems like, at least in my mind's eye, is that, or on the outside looking in, OU does really well. They've done, under Skip Johnson, has done really, really well against other Big 12 schools, TCU included, Tech, Texas even at times in the past 2 or 3 years. But they can never, ever beat OSU. I don't know what is, I don't get it. It's so odd to me, and they'll be in contention before the series. OU was towards the top of the Big 12 standings. Now this might have changed things. Haven't looked that up yet, and it's still a possibility for OU to still win the Big 12 overall standings. And on the other side, what's frustrating for OSU fans? Like, yeah, we can come out and beat our rivals, our biggest rivals, but then they struggle against other teams, and it's so weird.
Yeah,
but. Anyway, so that was Bedlam baseball over the weekend. Hopefully not the last Bedlam baseball series. Of course, so you're moving on to SEC. There is talks and mutual agreement that they both kind of want to continue that. Maybe obviously not in conference, but still want to play, and I think it's good. And there's been talk about that throughout all sports except football.
Yeah, I think that's definitely – I think the day is coming within the next 5 to 10 years that there's just going to be a football league. And then we'll go back to regional, more regionalized focus for the other sports because it costs too much money to fly those teams all over the place.
Right.
Hey, real quick before we go, congratulations to the Merritt Oilers shooting team. They won regionals. They went. It was a tough day, cold, windy. Went out there and they just
where was
mopped
that
the floor with them. I can't even remember where it was, to be completely honest with you.
We didn't even do high school sports.
But those
I promise you, listeners, we'll get better at that as this week goes on.
Yep, but those kids went up there, and I mean, there's several of those kids that have been shooting with the 4-H over at Sayre for a very long time. Those guys over there at Sayre, Paul, he does a great job with those kids. If your kid loves to trap shoot, if your kid loves the shooting sports, get them in there, get them signed up. It's a great deal.
It can get you into college.
Yeah, it can.
It absolutely can. Yeah, that's a great program. Great, and Merritt's been the top of the heap on that one for a long time. That's awesome. That's awesome. Final thing, what are your master's plans? I know we don't need, like, your personal plans. I know you got something on the menu.
Well, I hope that we do what we've done in the past. In the past, you could go out to the course on Sunday.
Oh, yeah?
And you pick a player that's playing, you know, in the last several rounds, right, last several matchups of the day, and take your score and their score and have a tournament. So you're like, it's like you're on the team with Rory or
cool.
Yeah, it's pretty fun. So I'll probably do that on Sunday. Probably go out there and get a little golf in and
awesome.
I'm not very good at sitting and watching sports, I'll just tell you. I'd rather be doing it myself.
Yeah. If it's my team, I'm not good at sitting.
Oh, if it's OU or Pittsburgh, I'm watching start to finish.
Speaking of,
are you ready to watch my Steelers win the Super Bowl?
Okay. You're starting to sound like a Dallas fan. Careful there. Careful. Now, if it's an important game, I'm pacing and eating. When I get nervous, I eat a lot. And then
drinking a terrible bottle of champagne that's been in the back of your fridge for 8 years.
Wouldn't care. Didn't care. Still tasted sweet to me. Sweet, sweet victory. All right. Oh, and are you going to go out and stare at the sun today?
I am.
For the eclipse?
I am. Yeah. Yeah.
Thanks for bringing the glasses.
Yeah. My wife, one of her students, her parents work at NASA and brought glasses for all of the second and third grade. Yeah. So all those kids are going to go out there and hopefully keep their glasses on.
Yes.
And see something cool. Let's hope that the clouds stay away.
So far,
looking pretty good.
It looked pretty good driving in, but I think some cloud, but they call them high clouds, so maybe you could still see the effect as far as the shadows or whatever we're calling it. But looking at the sun, hopefully the clouds stay away long enough. Yeah. That's interesting. It's very interesting, and I wasn't as excited until a friend of mine sent me, he posted on his Facebook page, a website that you can plug in your zip code. And it shows you what it would look like if you're looking at the sun at that time. And, yeah, totality, not here, but like 80-some percent. I didn't realize it was that much.
Wow.
And that's now I'm looking. Out. Now I'm like, okay, that's interesting.
But, folks, please, if you don't have glasses, don't look at the sun.
Eye doctors
It's bad enough that we have stupid people. We don't need a lot of blind stupid people.
Driving around. Yeah, I bet you eye doctors are incredibly nervous today, don't you think? Like, oh, I don't want to deal with this.
Yeah.
Is that who you would go to if you feel like you burnt your retinas or something?
Yeah.
Go to the eye doctor? Or,
I don't know if there's much they can do.
How about you just put the glasses on and don't worry about it?
That's it.
Yeah. Scott, thanks for hanging out. Let's do it again tomorrow.
Good times.
Okay? All right. Yep. Take care, everybody.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.